58104's fastest growing podcast. It's the legend. And the loudmouth.
But I'm going to kill the rooster. It's time, anywhere you are, by whatever method you are listening and socially distancing, and I'm still pissed. We thank you for choosing this podcast. Grant, how are we doing?
Good.
We've come to snuff the rooster.
Yes.
Again.
Part two.
The dirty Chanticleers generated some of our biggest audience ratings of this podcast.
Thank you, people.
So in some small way, I have to thank the fraudulent Coastal Carolina Chanticleers.
Roosters.
The Roosters.
It's a glorified chicken.
So of course we had to open the show with Alice in Chains and Snuffin' the Rooster. Seriously, I haven't heard this song in a while either. I forgot how good it was too. And yeah, so the Roosters, again, fraudulently being celebrated across the college football universe. But... wait, hang on. There we go. Snuff the rooster. Oh, yeah. Okay, thank you.
You done?
There's only one hope for us this weekend, Grant, and that is the men of Troy.
No, seriously.
I am officially
a Troy Trojan.
The Troy Trojans' biggest fan this weekend. Always cheering for victory, and you'll never let us fall. Go, go, go. Troy State. All sins of the 1984 victory over the Bison in the national championship game will be forgiven if you can beat Coastal Carolina this weekend, okay? Anyway, so I'm willing...
I like the whistle at the beginning. I
am willing to forgive the man who ruined part of my childhood, Ted Klemm, who kicked a 50-yard field goal at the gun to beat NDSU in 1984 on a warm night in McAllen, Texas, spoiling NDSU's opportunity to go for four straight national championships, as it turned out. They won in 83, they won in 85, they won in 86, and had Troy beat dead to rights until the freshman kicker, Ted Klemm,
with the clock running,
with the clock at zero, kicked a 50-yard field goal, the longest of his career.
Snapped at one, and then...
Unbelievable.
And as a 11-year-old kid, you're just...
like, well, at the time, I was 8 and devastated.
So you're not that old, okay.
Devastated when that happened. But, again, Troy, all is forgiven if you can win against the evil Roosters of Coastal Carolina. Continuing to receive fraudulent praise in the media this week. And continuing to express fraudulent opinions, people like Stuart Mandel from The Athletic, who says 12-0, a 12-0 Coastal team should be in the playoff. That's bullshit. All right?
Yeah. Is it bad that I can't find one negative video or article about Coastal
Carolina? Of course not. Of course you're not going to find it. Of course not. They're
And funny, the people who don't like them are listening to this podcast. So... and so, are we among the only two people that voiced our opinion that we don't like Coastal Carolina?
Let's update the audience a little bit on the fraudulent week that is Coastal Carolina and other developments of the week. Their big defensive stud, 94, I can't think of his name now because I didn't look it up before the show.
Neither do I care to.
Gets named Sunbelt Defensive Player of the Week. For knocking the shit out of Zach Wilson on that one play. Roughing him up.
End of the half BS.
Yeah. And then Sunbelt Defensive Player of the Year is like being in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. Okay? And Sunbelt Defense is a bit of a misnomer because they don't play any in that league.
Yeah, true.
And so all the fun boys on Twitter, they're all like, oh yeah, if you put Coastal in the league like the Power Five, they'd be awesome. No, they wouldn't.
Put them in the Big 12. I guarantee that one were in three games.
I'll guarantee you that the Big 12 teams outside of Kansas would knock the living crap out of some.
Even Oklahoma State, who's who.
Oklahoma State would not stop scoring on them. Our boy Chuba Hubbard.
Yeah, or Chuba or Chuba.
Whatever, it doesn't matter. It Chuba Hubbard
brother,
sounds better.
Brother from another mother.
My brother from another mother, Chuba Hubbard. Ooh, say that 10 times. No, I won't.
No, don't.
I don't want to hear any of this crap about how Coastal belongs with the elite. They don't. Okay? They don't. They never will.
They're having one good season.
So their running back, C.J. Morrible, or whatever his name is, he goes and talks to Reggie Bush for whatever for bullshit Reggie Bush show is doing these days.
He's probably just a feature for Fox.
Who cares?
Yeah,
well, no, first of all, Reggie Bush can't interview anybody. He's a fraudulent player, too, because of cheating back in the day. But anyway.
He didn't cheat.
Really.
On the field?
They took his Heisman away, you think?
He didn't cheat on the field.
Cheater. Anyway, so they got. So it's probably appropriate they got one fraud interviewing another.
He's not a cheater.
Reggie Bush is a cheater.
He's not a cheater.
Documented
cheater.
He took
money from a sports agent that was off the field.
Took his Heisman away. Cheating.
He was the best player in college football in 2005.
Couldn't follow the rules. Doesn't deserve the trophy. Anyway, interviewing C.J. Morrible, or whatever his name is, and he tells Reggie Bush that they just count us out every week.
I will continue to count you.
Who's they exactly, by the way?
Nobody, because everybody's saying that. It's like when. It's like in the Redskins.
God, already? That was 6 minutes into the show.
When they were the Skins, and the Bills were in that second Super Bowl, and Washington just blew smoke up the Bills' butts all week to tell them how great they were, and then they got crushed in the game. That's what I'm hoping happens to Coastal Carolina. Because, damn it, Coastal Carolina, I hate them. I still hate them. I think the Bison would still beat them. They're an FBS school.
Fraudulent program. Fraudulent head coach. Coastal Carolina is widely known as a stupid party school. I mean, again, it's in Myrtle Beach.
But they'll play anyone, anywhere. So
really?
Then go on the road and beat somebody.
Honestly.
They would not win if they went to Pro Bowl.
So,
I don't think they would have won if they went to Pro Bowl.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't have won. They probably wouldn't have. And what's worse yet is that a team like this, again, being as fraudulent as it is, I'd like to see how they'd fare against their own in-state rivals. Like I said, I don't even think they're the third best team in there. They might be the third
Clemson
best team.
Clemson might beat them by 60. Seriously.
Honestly, if you played Alabama against Coastal, the line would be Alabama by close to 30. It wouldn't be close.
Why are they ranked 13th in the poll in the playoff poll then?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
It's a legit question. Why are they ranked 13th?
They shouldn't be.
Why are they?
They shouldn't be because it's a stupid poll.
It's a story.
And it's based on no discernibly good data. They've gone undefeated against a Missouri Valley schedule.
I think the Valley schedule.
The Valley when we broke this down, I encourage you to check out last week's podcast. We broke down every one of those games, and it's just bullshit. All right? Bullshit.
Yep.
Just ridiculous. I mean, honestly. You know, they're fake turf, they're BS offense, but they're 5'9" center, which is ridiculous. Joel Klatt correctly has his top 10 for the week and doesn't include Coastal Carolina, so he's fortunately somewhat rational with how he looks.
Somewhat?
I've always respected Joel Klatt's opinion on that because he's pretty good. But how the hell Coastal gets that highly ranked is dumb.
Dumb,
stupid, ridiculous, and should never, ever be qualifications to participate in any playoff game.
I think more... even Dan Patrick jumped on your bandwagon that the Power Five should just battle it out for their own national championship.
They should.
And then the Group of Five has its own national championship, which is fine with me. I just don't want to mix in with the FCS schools. Because the more people are jumping on the bandwagon, oh, the Bison should be an FBS school. I'm not going to do that. If I'm the Bison, I'm thinking, you know what? I'm pretty good where I am. Unless the Bison are a big donor, they'll give them a new stadium that's bigger than 19,000. Sure, I'm all for it. But unless you join that, a conference has the word big in it, I don't really care about going to the MAC or, like, would you want to go to the MAC right now?
No.
It's the Sun Belt?
No.
Exactly. See, Conference USA?
No.
I think all those conferences are worse than the Missouri Valley. think if you put the Valley in the FBS, they would win more games as a conference than the
I guarantee before. You top to bottom, the Valley is a much deeper conference than any of the ones you just mentioned.
Well, I agree.
The Bison would whoop every team in the MAC.
Yep.
James Madison would whoop every team in the MAC.
Surprised Jamie isn't in the FBS, or how snobby they are.
So. Well, they got one big problem standing in front of them in green and gold that they haven't been able to solve.
Well, they did once.
And we hear about it every year. You know, it's going on, what, 5 years now since that game?
Yeah, that was 4 years ago.
Since then, you got beat by Colgate. I mean, really.
Yeah. You got beat by Colgate. The Bison beat them by 35.
I brush my teeth with Colgate. I don't play football. I don't lose football games to Colgate.
I use Crest, but that's
okay. Well, I'm just, again, the same.
Yeah, I get it.
Colgate had that one big defensive linebacker that almost transferred here. I can't remember. Everybody got a big, you know, about him.
Yeah, I think he stunk. I think the Bison guards are bigger than him, so I think let's move on from that topic. But it's just like, I can't stand the Bison of the FBS notion. I can't. I can't stand it. It annoys me because it's about every year. It's where FCS schools are like, can you just get them out here so we can compete again?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know what? You don't like them? Beat them. Get good enough to beat them. But that's too hard. Screw it then. Go to D2 if you don't think you can compete at this level.
Exactly.
Only JMU's been able to somewhat compete, and they still fall 8 points short at the goal line every time. You're the closest thing to them, and they're on a whole other planet compared to JMU.
So, anyway, the Shaunts, the Frauds,
the whatevers.
Troy is 13.5-point underdogs. I'm on you, Troy. I want you in this game. I want
you
to win
this game.
Get on
the Trojan horse.
And if it's not that, then I'm going full Raging Cajun from Louisiana. And after that, it's the R&L Carriers.
Yeah.
Well, New Orleans Bowl. Is that what it is?
Something.
Where whatever team
they might end up in their own bowl in their own stadium for their bowl game. They might end right back up at the Myrtle Beach Bowl at Brooks Stadium in Myrtle Beach.
Honestly, it's ridiculous. Well, anyway, enough about the Shaunts. They've already taken up way too much of my airtime this week, and I'm not happy about that. So let's hope that Troy can put them out of their misery and defeat them this weekend. But it's getting to be clutch time in the National Football League. And we start the Thursday night battle underway.
Hit that horn! Gotta get a new horn!
Rams dominating the Patriots.
It's only 17-3.
As we predicted. Rams are 5-point favorites.
It's 17-3. It's not a blowout.
This game has been a blowout if you've watched the whole thing.
14-14.
The Patriots are horrible right now. They have had one discernible offensive play that worked anywhere good, and that was the field goal they kicked. So Cam Newton looks old, slow, and boring. Meanwhile, the Rams with their
That's why I dumped them off my fantasy team. It was terrible. Hey, let's go, Captain Crew.
Anyway, Rams 5. We have the Rams in the 5 and the under tonight. At 44.5. Interesting note going into this week, Grant. The road teams in the NFL this year. We wondered at the start of the year, was Corona going to be an impact with it? No stadium fans or very empty stadiums? Yes.
Yep.
Road teams this year, 96-94-1. Above 500 on the road never happens in the NFL.
Does this year?
10-4 last week, teams on the road. So you can count the Vikings among the fortunate teams that were able to hang on and win a game.
Yeah.
And they go on the road this week. We'll have more on that in a while. But let's go to the Sunday slate and see what we've got here. We start out in Chicago. The Texans at 4-8 travel to the 5-7 Bears.
Ooh.
The Texans are an uno point favorite in this game. And with a fun over-under 45.5. And Grant, the Bears have any life support playoff hopes, it has to start with this game.
It's not going to. I'm taking the Texans.
You're taking the Texans, minus the one?
Yes.
And the four under 45.5?
Yes.
Okay. No hope for the Texans in this one?
No, for the Bears, you
mean? Excuse me, no hope for the Bears?
Have you seen what the Bears have done this last month?
They scored 30, last
week? To the Lions! It's the Lions.
You don't think that,
and you still got beat in your own backyard, and you got embarrassed in the fourth quarter. You've lost 7 straight ball games. Keep the streak going. Let's go, Texans.
No chance for the Bears at all?
I'm not saying there's no chance, but I think the Texans will win.
I mean, it's a one point line.
It's a pick-up. I get it. But I trust Deshaun Watson more than Trubisky in a questionable defense.
You do, huh?
You're going to take the Bears?
No. I have no...
You throw those questions to throw me off. I'm going to think about it. I'm not thinking about that one. Texans.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The Bears, by the way, still top 12 defense. You know, they're not a bad defensive team.
They gave up a 10-point lead to the Lions in the fourth quarter for blowing those leads. So, no.
You don't think that Mitch Trubisky has the... No, neither do I. And that's one of the main reasons I don't like the Bears here, is I just can't trust Mitch Trubisky. I mean, really. What? This might get Nat Nagy fired.
I think Nagy should be fired the way they've been playing.
But he's brought him, but when you think about what he did with this team before, you think
I think that 1 year was all smoke and mirrors to figure out how to use Trubisky, how to use Tariq Cohen, who's on IR, which I think.
I think they really miss him.
I think they do. I think they've underappreciated how good he was, and they got another running back. Montgomery's good.
I like Montgomery.
I think they're two of the monsters that play together. But Jordan Howard is just as good. I think Jordan Howard is better than David Montgomery. And they let him go for some reason. And when Jordan Howard was off, come off a
you can only season, you can only pay so many.
Yes, but he's better than David Montgomery. And you know, Jordan Howard's I don't think he's on the team right now, or he's on the Eagles. He's on the Eagles. I think he's on the Eagles.
I think that's right.
I think he's on the Eagles. But no, I think they underused him. I think they underused both the running backs. And I think Allen Robinson will be going to leave in free agency because I wouldn't want to be a part of this mess.
I think
Texans and Watson are much more than I am.
I don't see him getting much better either. The Bears are.
But Nagy should be fired. I mean, Doug Pearson and Matt Nagy could both be fired after this season.
Bears are a bottom five offense too, and that, you know, that really hurts when you just can't move the football. And Deshaun Watson's a more dynamic player.
Yeah, if the Bears had an offense with the Vikes on Monday night, they would have won.
Yeah. So we're both on the Texans minus the one here. Another cringeworthy game. Cowboys at 3-9 travel to the 2-9-1 Bengals. The Cowboys.
Was this flexed off Sunday night?
This was. The Cowboys.
Why was this a Sunday night game to begin with?
The Cowboys flexed off Sunday night. Well, I think they thought the Joe Burrow factor.
Burrow versus Prescott. That may have been.
Yeah, and they thought that they were going to be better, and it obviously didn't turn out to be that way.
5 years of mediocrity. Here it comes. Woo!
Anyway, the Cowboys 3.5 point favorites in this one, Grant. The Bengals again.
This comes down to, do I trust Andy Dalton or...
I get revenge game, by the way. Don't forget revenge game factor here.
Who's the Bengals quarterback?
Ryan Finley.
It's not Ryan Finley.
Brandon Allen.
Almost went to U.S. Banks Day last year to beat the Vikes.
Right, right. Brandon Allen.
Yeah, Andy Dalton, Brandon Allen.
The ginger rifle comes back to his old stomping grounds.
Perfect. Yeah,
I'm taking the Cowboys here.
As will I.
There's no point in taking any. The Bengals can't be taken seriously.
This is a game where the Cowboys' weapons will show out. Yeah. Their overpriced talent.
Ezekiel Elliott will have like 36 carries for 92 yards or something.
He'll have like 20 because Tony Pollard got more carries. So
Tony Pollard is not a bad back.
No, I just think they underuse Zeke too. Because Zeke, this is my knock on Zeke. He gets like 3 yards of carry consistently.
That, and he doesn't wear his uniform all the way to his stomach.
Well, like the draft, but like it seems like every time you watch him run, watch him run. It's 3 yards, 3 yards, 4 yards, 3 yards, 3 yards, 2 yards, 4 yards, 6 yards.
I don't see why people think he's such a great running back.
He's not. Only Jerry Jones thinks he's a good running back.
Well,
he drafted him 4th overall.
That's all you really need, right? I mean, if you look at it, I don't particularly enjoy watching the Cowboys in any way play.
No, I don't either. But they beat us, so I can't bash them too bad. But
if you look at what Ezekiel Elliott has done this year, it's just not that impressive. I mean, for what they're paying him and how vital a part of that offense that he's supposed to be.
When did the Vikes draft Cook? 16?
I don't know enough.
Weren't Zeke and Cook picking the same draft?
It's very possible. I don't know.
So the guy in the second round is better than the guy that won 4th overall?
Probably.
Yeah.
I think that's probably true. Just don't see that, you know, if you look at a guy like, you know, Elliott, you would just expect that he's just more dominating.
Yeah.
And I, Zeke just doesn't dominate games. No. And I don't know if he really ever has.
He never has.
I mean, when you go back and think about Ezekiel Elliott, do you really think that he's just this, you know, machine running football?
Nope.
I don't.
Nope. I don't either.
I mean, I'm not missing anything, am I?
Nope.
Okay. I think one of the things about Zeke, too, is that everybody, like I said, perceives him to be better than he is. But I don't think he's a particularly good pass blocker either.
Yeah.
And that's also, that leads to some, you know, problems.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm too far off.
No, you're not. So.
All right. Well, let's move on. Chiefs at 11-1 travel to the 8-4 Dolphins. This is a pretty good ball game. Chiefs are a 7-point favorite in this one, and the over/under 50.5. Chiefs have that nasty habit of playing down to the level of their competition.
Mm-hmm.
Might happen this
Chiefs,
week.
Chiefs, Dolphins, and are the Chiefs in it?
Yeah.
Chiefs.
Isn't that what I just said?
Chiefs.
Chiefs, without question.
Chiefs.
Chiefs minus the 7, 50.5 over/under.
Chiefs.
Over?
Chiefs. Yep. Chiefs.
No, when I say over/under, you can't
I
say
know.
Chiefs.
Yeah, over 50.
Okay. Oh, 50.5.
Yeah, over 50.5.
Okay, so.
You can't think of taking the Dolphins, will you?
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
Oh, God, no. I'm not going to. Tua Fitzpatrick, it doesn't matter who they start. It's going to be ugly.
If the Chiefs sleepwalk, it's still a win.
Well, they kind of sleepwalk on Denver a little bit.
Still won the game.
And they still won the game. And won it.
See,
honestly, it wasn't really that close.
If you're that good, you can just sleepwalk and win. Like, I wish the Bikes could do that. Suck and still win. And, I mean, that's. I've been wishing for that for 15 years, so.
Keep dreaming.
Yep. Amen.
Keep dreaming, son.
Kansas City, keep going.
It's just not going to happen. Let's go to the... yeah, I'm also on the Chiefs. Cardinals. Boy, they're struggling. 6-6 Cardinals, -3 over the Giants at 5-7. This is all of a sudden a very interesting football game here in New York. Daniel Jones likely to start. From what everything that we've been told, and not sure at this point if Kyler Murray is totally 100% healthy. Now he's not going to nothing has been said about him not playing, but isn't it interesting, however, that with Daniel Jones back, the Giants are looking for 5 straight wins,
and they'll get it. I'm taking the Giants.
You're taking the Giants.
I'm taking the G-men. Are they at home or they're at home, right?
I said Cardinals at Giants.
Okay, good.
It does help if you keep up with the show.
It doesn't matter. Giants regardless.
Giants -3.
I
huh?
can't. The way the Cardinals have played against division opponents, the way they played against
this isn't a division opponent.
Doesn't matter. This Giants defense is really good. The way they bottled Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray did a smaller version of Russell Wilson. This is easy, Giants. Their defensive. Leonard Williams has been getting after 3 people this season. Then just been a monster. You got 3 sacks. You had what? 3-4 sacks against the Seahawks offensive line.
We got two of the best running offenses in the league here.
I'll take Wayne Gallman. I'll take Wayne Gallman.
You're big on Wayne Gallman. Okay.
I'm gonna pick that this week. Thanks for your advice. So.
Well, I did give you some fantasy advice there. But.
So yeah, Giants.
So Giants.
I can't trust Kyler's.
So
Kyler's
yeah, and you're getting 3 points when you're New York.
And his wimpy shoulders, or Kyler's wimpy shoulders.
So. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm on the Giants here +3. Also, I think this is a game that will be close, and I wouldn't be shocked if Arizona won it. I think you have to pick the Giants and the points here because it's just so too big of a bet. Plus, they're at home, and. Something about these Giants, I tell you, just makes some sense.
A team might not be 500. They might be 500 getting into the playoffs in the NFC East.
Yeah. Broncos on the road against the Panthers, who are a 3-point favorite in this one. The Panthers, without the services of Christian McCaffrey again this week, just can't stay healthy. And again, we saw the Panthers when they came into U.S. Bank, and you know, gave the Vikes all they could handle, and Vikings were barely able to sneak that one out.
Yep.
Jeremy Chinn plays well defensively. I just, the Broncos, I watched them on, you know, Sunday night last week.
They just can't score.
And they just don't have enough there. You know, Noah Fant is a great tight end. Jerry Jeudy is going to be a really good receiver in this league, I think. I mean, honestly, Tim Patrick played well.
I think Patrick's been playing better than Jeudy.
They really just don't have enough. I mean, Phillip Lindsay, I always joke, he falls forward for a yard every play I see.
That's why I dropped him from my fantasy.
You know, Melvin Gordon. It's just.
Melvin Gordon's done. I mean, he's not playing really.
It just doesn't add up. And not that Locke is, you know, horrible, but he's just not. It's just not. I think Bridgewater does enough to win. I think a field goal is about the right odds here. I'll take the Panthers.
Panthers
minus 3 and the under at 45.5 on this one. Interesting game in Jacksonville. The Jaguars off that ugly overtime loss to the Vikes.
They should have won.
Titans 7.5 point favorites for the 52
and a half. The Titans come out pissed in this one.
I think Titans are going to be angry, and I think they're going to take it out on this crap team that Jacksonville is.
They're trying to get number one pick. They're jockeying for it.
And Glennon, love you, man, is going to be in trouble.
Why is it Minshew starting?
I don't think they believe in him. Plain and simple.
That could be it. Yep.
I mean, do you?
No.
I don't.
I think he's better than Glennon, but.
Well, and let's be honest, too. They just don't have offensive talent on. I mean, the one touchdown catch they had to Chenault
defied physics. Gravity, so.
And I just don't see them being a real threat. The Titans can run the ball all day. And you saw the Vikings did not run the ball overly well.
Yep.
But I think the Titans are going to come out and they're going to want this game. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a want factor in here.
Yep.
That I would consider important.
Yeah, I think
Titans are the third best offense in the league. The Jaguars, their defense is 29th. That's all I need to see.
Is Ryan Tannehill a top 10 quarterback in this league?
A top 10 quarterback in this league.
Because a lot of the things I've read say he is. So
why?
I couldn't tell you why, but they tell me he's a top 10 quarterback. I think Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback than Tannehill.
Ryan Tannehill, a top 10 quarterback.
Yes,
my inclination is to say no at first, but let's...
I think Herbert's better than him.
Stop. Let's get the obvious choices out of the way, who the better quarterbacks are in the league, okay? Hang with me here. I would think, first of all, Russell Wilson is better, okay? For sure.
Name most starters.
I'm gonna name the majority of starters, and we'll see how I get. Okay, Russell Wilson's one. Aaron Rodgers is two, right? Patrick Mahomes would be three. Okay? Those are for sure three no-brainers. Josh Allen's better than Ryan Tannehill, correct?
Yep.
Four. Okay? Derek Carr.
Yes.
Five.
Yes.
Okay?
Kyler
Murray, six. Ben Roethlisberger, seven. Yep. Lamar Jackson, eight.
Yep.
Okay?
I think Burrow and Herbert are better than him.
Okay. So that, okay, well then that's 9 and 10.
Yep.
So that answers.
I'm just
saying
10 random starters. Not saying they're top 10.
Well, I just picked 10, and I didn't even get the Cousins.
He's better.
Or Stafford.
Better. Brady.
Brady, I didn't come up with. Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Is he a top half of a league quarterback?
No. Teddy Bridgewater. He may be better than Bridgewater, but that's a coin flip.
That's tough.
Taysom Hill or Drew Brees? Like
well, Brees is better when he's not hurt. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Jared Goff?
Yes.
Jimmy Garoppolo?
I think they're the same quarterback. They both hand the ball off a lot. I think they're the same quarterback. I can't say one's better than the other, but one's been to the Super Bowl, so I think I'd probably go with Garoppolo.
Okay.
Just based on one's got more experience in different games.
Deshaun Watson?
Yes. Not a question.
And we're talking middle of the pack quarterback. And
Watson's better than Garoppolo.
Yeah, but is he better than Tannehill?
Who is?
Watson.
Watson's better than Tannehill.
Okay, then you basically named half the quarterbacks.
Yeah, I did.
Better.
I think Baker Mayfield's better than Tannehill. And he proved it.
Well, that's where I'm a little
he
issue.
He proved it, so he played better against the Titans defense than Tannehill did against the Broncos.
Are we both on the Titans minus 7.5?
Yep. I'm just asking the basic question.
Okay. Let's move to two of the quarterbacks. We didn't mention Phillip Rivers.
I think Tannehill's better than Cousins.
Colts minus three at the Raiders this weekend.
Ooh. That's a tough one.
It is a tough one. This is interesting because this is almost...
The Raiders are just so up and down these last couple games.
This is almost a playoff eliminator for the Raiders, however.
I like them a lot, but just they're playing so badly right now. They get blown out of Atlanta.
Saying because they escaped the Jets? Is that one of the biggest reasons?
If it wasn't for a spinner defense in Madden,
we're still talking about the spinner, aren't we? Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it's their blitz eight coverage, but cover Lawrence worked flawlessly for the Jets. So, but no, I like the Colts because of the running game. I like the Raiders, but they just the Atlanta and the Jets games told me they're not ready yet. They need another draft. So, I'll take the Colts. You've got to be kidding me.
Josh Jacobs coming back in the lineup.
He's not 100% healthy.
Not 100%.
Didn't John Gruden say there's not a great chance he even plays?
Not 100%.
That's why he's not starting for me this week. I don't trust the Raiders right now. I wouldn't take a hurt Jacobs against the Colts.
Raiders are desperate. They have to win this game to maintain their playoff status.
They beat the Jets with Cover Lawrence. So
I get that, but they didn't have Jacobs. Okay.
They should have been better in the first place. So I
know Jacobs is questionable.
You can't sit there and tell me that they're going to win that game.
I'm not saying they're necessarily going to win it either. I think they might cover it though.
What's the line?
Line's three.
They're not covering three.
You don't think they can at least cover three at home?
Raiders running back Josh Jacobs was limited in practice on Thursday.
Limited. Yeah.
Which means he's not 100%. He's probably more like 70% healthy.
Hmm. Limited, huh?
Limited.
All right. Give me the Raiders plus the three.
Here we go. You're desperate.
Here we go. I'm going to take the Raiders.
I'm up three, baby.
I'm going to put my faith in John. At least for the next 20 minutes, I'm going to put my faith in John Gruden.
You don't believe in the Raiders enough. Come on. Give me a freaking break. Colts are a top 10 defense. Darius Leonard can actually cover Darren Waller unlike other linebackers.
I don't know.
And if Darren Waller has like 25 fantasy points, that's fine with me. But as long as the Raiders don't win,
I don't know. I'm thinking about this a little bit more now.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Jacob's health.
He's not.
All right, I'm going Colts.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm going backwards. I did it again, but I had to do a little research on that in the last few seconds.
What did you call me when I switched from the Raiders?
Well, yeah, but I didn't do it right at the end of the show like you did. So we're both cowardly.
You're pathetic coward.
Pathetic coward. I'm gonna take the Colts. I'll take the Colts minus the three.
Okay.
Seahawks host 13.5 point favorites over.
J-E-T-S sucks.
Because with Sergio Castillo. Wow.
Can we just say Seahawks and move on? Because none of us are picking the Jets.
No, none of us are going to pick the Jets. And truth be told, I wouldn't even fathom, even as bad as Seattle played last week, there's no way on God's green earth I would consider the Jets to cover any sort of point spread. Although if you bet them last week, you would have had them. But yeah. I just think you got an angry Seattle team at home. The Jets are looking for reasons to walk away from games right now. Give me the Seahawks minus a 13.5 and the under.
Yep.
Because I don't think the Jets are going to score enough for that. Now, the Seattle defense isn't very good, but I think an over-under of 47, I don't think the Seahawks are giving up enough to get to the 47, so I'm taking the under. So we'll both be on the Seahawks in this one. Packers at 9-3 travel to the 5-7 Lions. Packers are 7.5 point favorite. Perfect betting line from Vegas, daring you to take the Packers and by more than a touchdown.
Let's go Lions! Packers.
Sorry. Packers are going to win this game. I think they're going to win it by way more than 7.5.
We want the Lions to win, but if I was betting,
well, game, honestly, you don't because you want teams that are 5-7.
They're not making the playoffs for the last time. It's the Lions.
Packers aren't losing this game. Sorry.
They won't.
No, they won't.
But it's like, it's the Lions. Irrelevant as hell. No one cares about the Lions.
Not just irrelevant, but irrelevant as hell. Wow.
What are they known for? A guy running off the back of his own end zone.
But their coach is undefeated. Daryl Bevel hasn't lost a single game as Lions head coach.
Seriously.
1-0, baby.
Would they beat last week? A Bears team lost 6 in a row up to that
by
point?
By 4. Yeah.
Just,
this game isn't going to be
They've been relevant since Megatron and Barry Sanders are playing.
That's kind of your big thing. It hasn't been relevant since blank. That's kind of your thing, isn't it?
Well, am I wrong?
Yeah, you're not wrong. We're going. Are we doing the Billy Sims thing again? Or?
I don't care. Do you want to?
No, I don't think. No, I don't want to. Packers win and cover.
Javid Best.
Javid Best. Now they were talking. All right. Saints 10-2 and in the driver's seat again with Taysom Hill at quarterback. Travel to the now quarterbacked by Jalen Hurts. 3-8-1 Eagles. It's just getting worse and worse for our boy Carson. And he didn't deserve to be benched. He has no help. They have no offense. They have no running
game.
Can we
just say Saints? I don't get pissed off by the Saints. Can we just say Saints and move on?
Yeah,
like,
unfortunately.
I really hate New Orleans. So.
I know, I do too. And it pains me that
karma's
they're...
a bitch.
It pains me to think that they're going to win this game, but it's a completely accurate statement. And with 6.5, that's just too easy a cover for the Saints, who will win this game. So give me New Orleans, and you, New Orleans, minus the 6.5. In this one, and the over under of 43, I'm going to take an under on that one from that standpoint. The Choke Bowl, Falcons at 4-8, travel to the 3-9 Chargers. Falcons getting 2.5 points here, and I like the Falcons on the road.
Falcons.
I think, again, we're marking time till Anthony Lynn's looking for his next defensive coordinator
He's
job.
Looking for a pink slip.
Raheem Morris still trying to get the. I mean, if he strings together another couple wins. What do you think? You think he gets the head job?
Oh, God. He should already have it right now. They should just give it to him now.
I don't know if they want to give it to him now. But
I would.
To try to finish off the year anyway.
I mean, you're not getting the enemy. So, I mean, it's just like...
This is a game between two interesting teams with bad records. I mean, the Falcons are interesting.
The Chargers should have a better record than they should.
But the Falcons, and again, I've been saying this all year, the Falcons are an interesting team just because their offensive firepower is what it is. It still befuddles me why they can be that bad.
They crushed the Raiders, so I thought they'd get beat by. But
yeah.
I don't know what
to They don't make a lot of sense to me.
I'll pick on the win this game.
But maybe Raheem Morris, when he gets the coaching job, maybe there'll be some more cohesive development of some things. I mean, it's tough when you're that early in the season and you have to take the interim job. I mean, that's hard.
Yeah.
Because you really can't implement anything really that new. And, you know, it's not like they're a completely horrible team either. I mean, it's not like they lost a whole bunch of games that were just absolute blowouts. But they're kind of meh.
Meh is an understatement. Both teams are meh.
They're meh. I mean, their offense and defense both kind of middle of the pack crap. And it's just not that interesting, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take the Falcons minus the 2.5. Because I don't trust the Chargers to keep any sort of...
Is Herbert still a rookie of the year?
No.
You think Jefferson's a rookie of the year?
I think Jefferson in the last few weeks has made big-time strides.
And the fact that he's, what, fourth in receiving yards, when all receivers, not just rookie receivers, but he's dominating the rookie receiving
yards. I think that makes it a...
Now, if he leads the league in receiving yards his first year, he's an easy rookie of the year. It's quarterback bias if he doesn't win rookie of the year.
Okay.
I mean, it's clear quarterback bias because Jefferson's clearly been the best receiver. He's probably the best Vikings receiver right now.
All right, well, who are the big offensive rookie of the year? Herbert's really the only other one.
Jefferson.
Because Burrow being gone. Burrow would have been the guy,
yeah.
Right?
But,
I mean,
but he's ACL box.
I think Justin Jefferson is probably going, if he has another big game, Wouldn't he be the obvious choice?
He's playing the Buccaneers.
Right.
So, I mean, the Bucs don't have the best secondary. So,
right, that's true.
And Tom Winfield's really good, but he plays safety.
Well, we'll get to that game in a minute. Is there any doubt right now, in your mind, that Chase Young is a defensive rookie of the year?
Oh, no question.
I mean, is there really any... I know Jeremy Chin's going
to
get some votes.
Jeremy Chin could come to mind, but Chase Young... I think it's an easy pick for me.
Right, I agree. I think that's a pretty easy selection from that point of view.
I could see it going either way, but I think he's the more favored.
Don't get me wrong, Herbert's had a great year. He's obviously I think he's established himself. They have themselves a 10-year quarterback. I think
if the Chargers had a winning record, it might be a little different. But
well, it'll be fun to see as they get more experience around them and get some better players. Tyrod Taylor, I think, is as good as gone.
Yeah.
Easton hopefully will be able to
Will
he stick around?
Yeah, he should. I know where you're going.
I thought that was pretty good.
It's not. I think Stick can be back up for a while.
Washington football team at the 49ers, or should I say at Arizona?
Stop there. Washington football team.
Washington getting 3 against on the road against the 49ers.
On the road in Arizona. So both teams are
standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona. Yeah, that's where the 49ers
went
are right
to
now.
Babylonia.
No, that's a different song.
I know.
I'm doing the Eagles one.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Something bothers me about the 49ers, and it's called Nick Mullins.
No, it's called not healthy is what it's called.
Well, they just don't have enough. And Washington, I know Gibson isn't going to play, and it sounds like they're going to...
just give it to McKissick.
Yeah, McKissick, and they've got McLaurin. I mean, good Lord. Alex Smith, if the Comeback Player of the Year award isn't named after the guy...
It should be named after.
Honestly,
yeah.
there are no other players.
The Alex Smith NFL Comeback Player of the Year.
There is no other Comeback Player of the Year award. He is going to win that at the NFL Honors thing.
Well, the virtual NFL Honors.
Yeah, they're going to be a standing ovation for the guy because... And lucky he can just stand at all. So, kudos to him.
Yeah,
they are certainly in this race in the NFC East. And I think they're going to win again and keep pace with the Giants. I like the Redskins. I like the Washington Football. The Red Tails. I like them +3 over the Niners.
As we do.
Okay.
If the Niners if they had their full roster, then yeah, I would take the Niners. But
probably a different story.
But this isn't the defending NFC Champion Niners. This is the 5-7, no 49ers.
Last Wednesday, Grant, the Steelers were undefeated playing those Washington folks.
And they aren't going into Sunday night.
And they aren't going into Sunday night's matchup with the Bills at 9-3. The Bills are a 2-point favorite in this game. Let's the Steelers road to 11-1. Let's recap it real quick. Week 1, beat Daniel Jones.
Great.
Week 2, beat injured Broncos.
Great.
Week 3, beat the trash Texans.
Great.
Week 4, bye. Week 5, beat bum Carson Wentz.
Yep.
That's not my words.
Are we being SB Nations?
Yeah. Week 6, beat the Browns with no Chubb.
Yep.
Week 7, refs beat Titans. Week 8, refs beat Ravens.
Yep.
Week 9, beat 2-7 Cowboys. Week 10, beat 2-5-1 Bengals. Week 11, beat 1-8 Jags. Week 12, beat the Ravens practice squad.
Yep.
And week 13, lost to a team with no name.
Yep.
That's the Pittsburgh.
Funny when they got punched in the mouth by a real football team. They got beat.
It was really bad play calling, too, that got them beat.
Yeah, funny when you can't generate a pass rush and you can't run the football, and your receivers have dropitis, I don't know what else you can do, because Alex Smith won a hell of a game.
I don't understand...
Ian Thomas was wide open the majority of the game.
I don't understand the play calling, and I don't understand... On 4th-and-1, they threw this goofy pass to
their 4th-and-1s were like, I don't have a good run game. Can you get a quarter of an inch? I mean, could you get an inch?
I'm a little concerned that they really can't run the ball at all.
And that's why I'm taking the Bills to win this game.
And the Bills at -2, that's a good buy here, especially at home, because I think they're going to win this game.
I think the Bills are going to win,
I think they're going to cover easily. Give us both the Bills -2. I think it's going to be the over. I think the Bills are for real.
Yeah.
And
they're number
the
three
more
players.
I watch Josh Allen make plays, and with guys like Diggs, where he's got a legitimate number one receiver. Cole Beasley's a great supporting player. You've got Singletary and Moss, who are just fine. You can run your running back committee.
You got Tre'Davious White in the defensive backfield.
Right.
Which is dominant.
And you've got like role players like a Dawson Knox and some of these other. It's just a nice fit of guys together. Sean McDermott is not exactly Mr. Excitement back
there. It's a Buffalo kind of football
team. It really is. And Ian Book's going to look great as the backup.
As the backup.
But
right.
Give me the Bills. Give us the Bills minus the two Bills. Steelers. Monday night, interesting matchup as well, and key in the AFC North race. Ravens come in at 7-5, travel to the 9-3 Browns. The Ravens are 2-point favorites in this one. The Browns have the chance here to fully legitimize themselves as not just a playoff team, but a potential AFC contender.
No, they're not.
No?
I think the Browns are good enough to win a playoff game. They're not there yet.
Against the right team?
Against the right team, maybe. But I still think they're better than Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh's a better team than Cleveland. if Cleveland goes to Heinz Field and wins, then I'll believe in the Browns fully.
But I think they'll beat this Ravens team.
Because the Ravens, they still look one-dimensional. Lamar can only make so many kinds of throws, which is maybe three or four kinds. And if you make him throw it outside the hashes, he's still screwed. So, I mean, he can throw it downfield a little bit, but... And the Ravens defense is okay. They didn't have to play that well to beat the Cowboys. But I like Cleveland in this game.
Taking Cleveland plus the 2?
As a lot.
Yeah, so am I. I think this is the... A Ravens win here wouldn't surprise me.
No.
But if I'm getting points in the Browns at home... I still look at the Ravens and I just see, and honestly, this is the kind of the game I hate the most with two quarterbacks that I completely don't believe in.
Baker and Lamar.
Baker and Lamar. So it's my two of the guys.
Coming to CBS this fall. Baker and Lamar.
Two of the guys that I think are the most fraudulent at their positions in the league, but they have such
a good. Okay, that's a little much.
Why?
I think they're guys who are fraudulent. Like Ryan Tannehill.
Lamar Jackson is a fraudulent quarterback. I've said it for a year. I'm saying it again.
I don't think he's fraudulent.
Yes, he is.
I just think he's a good playoff quarterback.
He's fraudulent. He can't throw the ball accurately. Fraudulent. It's great when he can run the ball. Now, this game may take, again, an hour and a half.
Yep.
The way these guys...
they both run the ball.
They both run the ball so much. There's no question that the Ravens' rushing attack is really good.
But I think the Browns are better.
But I think the Browns, you stole my point there. But it's fine. I think the Browns,
they're a better
running attack is really good.
Yep.
And I think they can make you make mistakes in the passing game because you play the run too much. With the Ravens, you take away Lamar. You take away their whole offense. You take Baker Mayfield away, and like, okay. I mean, and he kind of takes himself away out of a lot of games. Yeah. You go hand the ball to Chubb, you hand it to Hunt. You play good defense, you throw the ball to the tight ends. You let Baker make the safe plays, and I'm not saying he's turning in full game manager Trent Dilfer mode here, but he certainly showed that first half they played against Tennessee. I was so impressed with how
he's not Bernie Kosar, but
he's not immobile. I mean, either, but he's got a little bit of that swag factor that Cleveland kind of needs, and I think that helps them win a game.
No, but he gives the Browns an identity. Like if you talk about the Browns, it's Baker. He's on all the Progressive commercials, but still, he's playing pretty damn well right now.
Yeah,
but the Browns needed a face, and he was the guy who gave it to him.
Yeah, and he will be for a while. So we're both on the Browns plus the 2. A lot of underdogs that are 2-3 point variety this week at home getting points, and makes it tough to pick against some of these games. And finally, of course, the Vikings on the road at Tampa. Bucks on the 6.5 point line here.
But here's the problem with the Bucks. I like them because it's Brady off a bye. And Brady off a bye.
Well, it's not just Brady off a bye. It's Brady needing a win. It's the Vikings needing a win. And going on the road, while not, as mentioned at the top of the show, or this segment, we know how the road teams have played above 500. The Bucks have good safeties. They have decent defense. I'm not saying they're world beaters because we've seen. I think their offense in some of these games has just completely let them down, and I don't think that happens against the Vikings.
And you never thought you would say that, right? This vaunted.
I never thought I would say that.
Buccaneers offense that's been. I mean, I think he's. I think I said Brady was perplexed by his options. He's like, I have this many weapons, and I can't decide which one to throw it to. Because they're all really good. I mean, he's got all pros and Pro Bowl receivers everywhere. And I'm just like, I just don't think he can make up his mind. And like, my thing with the Vikes is that they have never beaten Brady. I looked through the past games they've played against DB12. They haven't beaten him once. Last time they beat a team, I guess the time they beat the Patriots was 2000. They're not playing the Patriots, they're playing the Buccaneers. That doesn't really matter because they're playing the Buccaneers with Brady, and then you're beating Brady. I'm taking the Buccaneers.
Buccaneers minus 6.5.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree.
I hope the Vikings win this game.
No, but I agree. If you're betting money, you're not betting on the Vikes to cover. No way.
I think the Vikes are a playoff lock if they win this game.
Right.
If you can beat Tampa Bay. But this is a typical Viking game you have to win to be in the playoffs. Let's see.
So we agree on all the games again.
Well, you could differ, but you refuse.
No, I can't do it. In all honesty, I can't do that with that game.
I thought you picked the Steelers, but you can't pick the Steelers.
No, the Steelers for me now are on my naughty list.
Uh-oh. You want to pull for them?
Yeah. That performance against Washington, I think for me, really kind of did it. I don't see them having enough. It really bothered me. And I think from a serious competitor standpoint, I think they lost their ability to convince me that they are going to seriously challenge Kansas City, because of the way that last half against Washington, I know Washington's got a good defense, but they should not have lost that game in any way, shape, or form.
Nope.
No way. No way. Let's go to college football. Not a lot of... Again, we've already covered the major with the Snuff the Rooster game. Alabama, a slight 32-point favorite over Arkansas. That's not happening. Georgia and Missouri is the top 25 feature game of the week. Number 9, Georgia at Missouri. And with all due respect to my neighbor, Mizzou doesn't have a chance in this one, I don't think.
Nope.
I think Georgia's too good for them. I'm not saying Georgia's a world beater, but I don't exactly think that the Bulldogs are going to struggle too much against Missouri. You couldn't stop a cold sometimes on defense.
But they beat LSU.
Yeah.
But they beat LSU.
By the way, LSU has taken themselves out of bowl eligibility. Do you see that? They've decided to withdraw from any potential bowl games. Funny, when they go 3-5, or they're 3-5, and they're going to go 3-6.
You know what? We're done.
They're going 3-6 this weekend because they've got to play Florida.
Oh.
Yeah, that's not happening. So, game over on that one. I think the other game of interest this week, North Carolina at Miami. Miami, a 3-point favorite in that game. It's going to be fun to see if Miami can hang on. North Carolina gave Notre Dame all they could handle.
But that was Notre Dame. I'm digging all the way here, King, all day long, man. The
Eric. Right. The Eric. Interesting tweet this week I wanted to ask you about, Grant, with David Pollack on College Game Day of fame. Sent out a tweet this week. I thought it was interesting, and it deserves some contemplation. Do you think, and the reason I ask this question is because Ohio State has now been voted that they will be able to play in the Big Ten championship game.
Yep.
Okay?
Okay.
Now, question is, you know, if Indiana had won the game over Ohio State.
Yeah.
Let's just say Indiana wins that game.
Okay.
Still loses Michael Penix.
Okay.
But wins. And if they are the 5-0 team in this scenario,
yeah.
Do you think the Big Ten changes the rules?
Nope.
I agree with you.
Nope.
Because
we like to award the Blue Bloods for being the Blue Bloods.
Yeah, we do.
In basketball, we say it all the time, the Blue Bloods are at the top of the rankings like they always are. I don't care as much about the basketball rankings. I care about the Final 68. I don't care about mid-season, you know. It's December 10th, and you know, and who cares if Illinois is ranked 5th? I don't care. But in this case, if I'm Indiana, you're going to get hosed regardless, because if you won the game, you're going to be ranked maybe 6th or 7th because you beat Ohio State.
Right.
But you're not a top 5 team. I think Florida's still better than you. I think Texas A&M is still better than you. I think the 4 teams above you would be better than you. I can't see Indiana... Because it's Indiana.
Indiana.
As I like their coach, I like Tom Allen a lot.
I think he's great. Okay. I think he should be the coach of the year, honestly. Coach of the year.
I think he's a meaner version of Matt Nagy.
We got to do, boys. We got to go out. We got to run the football. Michael Penix, he's one of the best players in college football. I think he's got a great future ahead of him. I don't know where it's going to be, but I hope it's with our program we can win championships.
You really got to yell, though.
You really got to be louder?
Yeah.
Like that?
You really got to be
Michael louder. Penix is the best player in college football you've never heard of.
It just sounds like a louder Matt Nagy.
Okay.
You're trying, Tom Allen, but you sound more like Nagy every time.
Well, that's where I'm going. I mean, these kids have been playing their heart out for me.
Are you done?
No, I could do this all day. We should get Maddox on the show and talk to him about it, because anyway, okay, I'm done. All right, I'm done.
Are you good?
Sorry, I think I got to get that out. I haven't been able to talk Bison football for so long. I want to get my coach.
I want to go back to the dome, but I can't do that. So
right, exactly.
I can't see Indiana if they won that game. I couldn't see him extending it to six.
No, and that,
I think they just gave Northwestern the crown in that scenario.
Well, and let's see how Northwestern looks in the Big Ten. I mean, it's not a given that Ohio State's going to win this game.
Yes, it is.
I'm just saying.
I'm not taking Northwestern to win in anything against Ohio State.
Okay, I'm just saying. It's something
you have to... I'm not saying, but I'm just saying.
Right, I'm not saying, but I'm just saying.
No, Ohio State, no. But can you... I think Dan Patrick said it best today. If Florida beats Bama and Clemson beats Notre Dame, is Ohio State in?
No.
Exactly.
Nope. But that's not going to happen. Florida is not beating Alabama.
With that offense, you never know.
Florida's not beating Alabama.
They've done it before.
I don't think they will. I really don't.
I don't think they're going to win, but I think it's going to be a pretty fun game to watch.
I believe that to be the case.
It'll be high scoring, that's for sure.
It definitely will be high scoring. No question about that. We'll see how that goes. Talk a little college hoops.
How the Bison?
Bison coming down to the wire here. It is, as we record this game,
tied.
It is 76-75. South Dakota State leads the Bison with 9.1 seconds left.
The Bison have the ball.
South Dakota State is shooting free throws, missed the front end of the two-shot bonus. The second one is up, and it is good. It is Bison trailing by two, 9 seconds to go, and the Loudmouth goes into play-by-play mode. Tyree Eady dribbles up the floor, gives it to Sam Griesel. Griesel at the top of the key, dishes back, turns the ball. Oh, it's a scrum, and the clock runs out.
Was there a foul called?
I don't know. I think there was a jump ball called. Let's see. They're trying to sort it out here. Griesel screwed that up. That's all on Griesel right there. Went diving for the ball, couldn't get it, and not sure how this, if this is the game over or what happened here. Referees are going to go review this. Yeah, anyway, referees are going to review it. In case you're wondering what in the hell are we talking about, Bison are playing what's called the Dakota Classic
something like that.
Where UND, NDSU, and... South Dakota and South Dakota State are all playing each other round robin style at the Pentagon.
Yeah,
over the next few days, Bison got South Dakota State tonight. UND, by the way, knocked off USD in the first game, 75-71, which is a little bit of a surprise.
Not really. Both teams are kind of.
I mean, UND. Let's be honest. UND isn't a slouch. They made the conference title game last year. Of course, the Bison absolutely pounded them into submission in the greatest first
game. Everything was falling. Oh, it was fantastic.
I mean, I'm trying to remember how many points they were up before they actually scored. By the way, Jared Stidham in the ball game now for...
He did go 4-for-4.
New England. So, I'm just curious, if you look at this...
I think the Bison in a rebuilding year. It's not going to happen.
By the way, 1/10 of a second has been put back on the clock, so the Bison are going to need the old tip-in to tie this one up.
Yeah, ain't going to happen.
But... we'll see here as the Dave Richmond calls the play, masked up Dave Richmond.
What, we couldn't give him like 0.4 seconds?
No, they gave him 0.1 seconds, and that's all she wrote. It's a final. South Dakota State wins 77-75. The Bison dropped to 0-5.
Against the first the first mid-major opponent of the season.
Yeah, good game. I mean, Bison trailed in this one.
The Bison have been in every single game.
We haven't really talked a lot of Bison basketball.
The women are doing okay. But
and I think the men are, again, the men's team is rebuilding. We've obviously had some good games.
The men do this a lot. I mean, the men have like a two-year stretch they just can't be beaten, and then they go through a 3 or 4 year rebuilding period. It's just what they do.
Yeah, well, this is what they're doing right now.
I mean... they're 0-5, but yeah, they lost to three teams that were ranked in the top 25 or really close to being ranked in the top 25,
right.
And they got beat by the Jacks. So it's nothing to hang your head at.
The only thing that matters for them is tournament time.
Yeah.
That's really what it's going
to be. It's disappointing because they could have beat Kansas.
Yes.
They could have beaten Creighton. I mean, they were in... they're in all these games, and I think this is a year where they're in a lot of games and just can't close one out.
And yeah, but again, it'll all come down to 3 days and
the yeah, tournament. Yeah, but I'm just like, if they can get past the Jacks, I think no one's going to beat them in the tournament if they can get by the Jacks. But
well, and that certainly helped. The couple years ago when the Jacks got knocked out by Western Illinois, Omaha and Private Pile.
Last year.
No, that certainly didn't hurt either.
But it's like, this is one of those. They might do this for 1 or 2 years, or just they can't find their footing, but they will at some point.
Speaking of NDSU, we don't often talk much golf on the show.
You take this away. I want anything to do with this.
Why?
I don't care. It's women's golf.
What's one of us?
Great. It's Amy Olsen.
Amy Olsen, of Oxbow fame, and of course, Grant Olsen's wife, who's playing on the LPGA Tour. Amy Olsen with a hole in one today. To take the lead at the U.S. She is in the lead of a major. The end of the first round of the U.S. Women's Open, Amy Olsen has the clubhouse lead, the 18-hole lead. So good luck, Amy, this weekend as they play down in Houston for the U.S. Open, the last major of the year, leading approximately 913 different South Korean female golfers in this event.
Right.
I believe there are 41 American women playing in this event, and the other 9 million are South Korean golfers.
You know who Tommy Tiny Lister is?
Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah.
Tiny Tim.
Yeah.
You don't know about Tiny Tim?
Nope.
Why don't look
him up.
No. The Tiny Tim, he's very famous. Tiptoe Through the Tulips.
I don't know who he is, so sorry.
Oh, my God. Really?
Sorry.
Cultural education is woefully lacking, son.
Sorry.
I mean, I guarantee everybody over the age of, well, I don't even know what the typical age of that would be, actually, who that would be.
Also happy that UND hockey lost the other day, so that also makes me very happy because they're ranked number 1 in the country. So.
Oh, tiptoe through the window.
This is Tiny Tim.
By the window, Santa Claus, he comes tiptoe through the tulip with me.
Okay. Tiny Lister, is that his name?
Yeah.
Is it that Tiny Lister? No.
Yeah. No, the wrestler.
That was the whole joke you were getting there. But, yeah, Tiny Lister. He was better known. I thought I was going to be able to get you down this whole rabbit hole with Tiny Tim and everything else. But this would be Zeus of No Holds Barred fame.
Yep.
You remember No Holds. You've never seen No Holds Barred?
No, and I don't care if you.
Oh, man. Really?
Don't know and don't care.
No. No Holds Barred was a really bad 80s movie or 90s movie. It was actually, I think, 89.
Okay.
Where Tiny Lister plays a character named Zeus, who, of course, comes through these tough man competitions and challenges the world heavyweight champion, Rip, played by, Hulk Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
The Hulk Hogan.
Yep.
And proceeds, of course, to, like injure his brother and everything else, and of course Hulk has to come back, and I don't need to say anything more than Hulk Hogan, I guess, the guys, that Hulk Hogan. That Hulk Hogan, right?
Right.
Anyway, yes, that Hulk Hogan. So, anyway. Oh, you wanted to hear No Holds Barred?
No, I didn't.
You didn't?
To, but you did.
Should have gone out to this song, I suppose, huh? No Holds Barred. Anyway. All right, I've done enough Tiny Tim Lister and everything else.
Yeah, you have.
I was trying to get you down to do something. And
I didn't care before then. I don't care.
And you still don't care about Amy Olsen. Anyway, good luck, Amy Olsen, at the U.S. Women's Open. Do North Dakota proud. Grant Olsen, I don't know what he's doing these days.
He's coaching linebackers.
And hopefully he'll have a football season to coach relatively soon. Well, now that I've made references to Tiny Tim, Tim Lester, Tim Patrick, any other Tims I can get in on the show tonight?
Tim Brown.
Tim Wakefield threw the best knuckleball I've ever seen.
Tim
Raines, stolen base,
right?
Expertise.
Tim
of,
Tebow.
He shattered the mold, from what I understand.
Right.
Let's see here. Tim Allen. Tim McGraw. Tim Duncan.
Right.
You know, got that. How about, let's see. I don't know. I'm kind of running out. Tim Howard used to play goalie for the U.S. national team. Tim Cook runs Apple. Tim Horton. Donut guy, right?
Right.
There's
another Tim, but he's for the wrong reason, so.
Excuse me?
There's another Tim, but it's for a wrong
Tim reason. Robbins, Andy Dufresne from Shawshank Redemption.
Right. Yeah. There was another one, but he's definitely naughty, so we're not.
Oh, okay. We're not going to talk about him? All right.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
Yeah,
I do.
We're not
okay.
Anyway.
Tim Hardaway, junior
right,
and
right,
senior.
Right. I can't even much more Tim's.
Tim Kaine ran for vice president of the United States with Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Tim Thomas, hockey goalie.
Tim Thomas, the NBA lottery pick.
True. Did he play for Villanova?
Yeah.
And with Ivan Nova.
And Tony Gonzalez whooped his ass this week.
As part of a super. I'm sorry, I was going. All right.
Because he got owned by because Tim Thomas played in the NCAA tournament against Tony Gonzalez. And Tony Gonzalez whipped his ass.
Before Tony Gonzalez was doing pistachio commercials.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we have to end the show. We have gone way too far down the rabbit hole. Oof. Anyway, get in touch with the show. Our email is legendintheloudmouth@gmail.com. That's legendintheloudmouth@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @legendloudmouth. That's @legendloudmouth. And check out our website, legendintheloudmouth.com. That's legendintheloudmouth.com. For all links to our previous shows and how much I hate Coastal Carolina. Grant, how do we find
you? Follow me on Snapchat, @GrantLegend. One, follow me on TikTok, @GrantLegend. Follow us on Instagram, @Legend_Loudmouth_pod. @Legend_Loudmouth_pod. You want some much hate show me here, so please subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Go Troy. That's all I have to say. Go Troy. We will be back. We will break down all the Bison basketball action from the weekend. See if Amy Olsen can hold on to the lead at the U.S. Women's Open. We'll break down the Vikings. We'll take a look at the NFL playoff picture. And we'll get you set as we start down the road to bowl season and the college football playoff. A lot going on here in the final few weeks of 2020. We'll be here to break it all down for you and talk to you about it and give your opinions on it here on The Legend and The Loudmouth. Good night, everybody.